Chapter 8 Pickup. After Nayla departed, Melissa found herself once again alone with the caged animals. As they began to stir, the sounds of their movements and vocalizations filled the room. Additionally, the odor intensified, indicating that some of the animals were relieving themselves, making the atmosphere increasingly unpleasant. Melissa stank, and she knew it. She was covered in dried sweat from spending the day and night in the humid van. Her vaginal fluids had seeped on the floor from her frequent catheter-driven masturbation. The scent of masturbation also clung to her body, as she had been forced to sleep on the moist floor. She had been worried that whoever retrieved her from the cage would notice the telltale smell of her masturbation. The smell mixed with the dried sweat that had accumulated on her arduous trip in the humid cargo hold. But now it seemed like the heavy smell of the animals in the room might cover up her own odors. After what seemed like half an hour, a male veterinary nurse came in. The windows at the end of the room had been tilted, and he fully opened them. That improved ventilation a lot, and after a few moments, Melissa smelled the wave of fresh air from her cage, diluting the stench. Melissa heard the man open a cage, and a bit later, she saw the nurse walking past her cage with a sheep on a leash, but he took no notice of her. Every few minutes, a nurse came in and did the same, and gradually, the animals left the cages. Finally, Nayla came to retrieve her. She unlocked the cage, and Melissa cautiously made her way out. Her hands were still free of the handcuffs, but her ankles were still shackled. She held her catheter bag, its tube still connected, in one hand and carried the shackles with the other. She was relieved to exit her cramped cage and stand upright after being confined for so long. She enjoyed being able to fully stretch her legs again. Melissa never wanted to see this cage again or think about what had happened in there. Nala was unfamiliar with a catheter, and Melissa had to explain to her what it was and that she couldn't take it out herself. Nala took the handcuffs from Melissa and closed them carefully around her wrists.
"Don't want to get into trouble with the head nurse," she said apologetically.
Nala attached a numbered red tag to her collar and led her out of the room. Nala led Melissa through corridors, and they eventually entered a hall. The floor and the walls of the hall were covered in white tiles. Numerous staff members were bustling about. Melissa observed several large workbenches along the walls, each accompanied by a sink. Veterinary nurses were attending to animals on these benches, and someone was hosing down the floor, the water running into drains in each corner. With a sinking feeling, Melissa noticed that each worker had a cattle prod attached to their belt. Nala called for assistance, and soon a middle-aged, overweight woman with the stern face of a matriarch approached, her name tag reading, M. Kamau, head nurse, and she held a syringe. Melissa was led to one of the workbenches and climbed onto it with Nala's help. The bench had a high backboard to which a chain was attached. Once Melissa was seated, Nala secured the chain to Melissa's collar with a padlock, ensuring she couldn't leave the bench without being unlocked. Then, Nala unlocked her transport chains. Melissa felt a moment of relief when she was freed from the tight transport chains, but was unsettled as she found herself chained by her neck for the first time. Neck chaining was a practice she had considered solely for animals. She was not surprised, all things considered, but this was her first time, and she now had to learn to deal with the feeling of being controlled like this. Her fingers instinctively went to the D-ring, where Nala's padlock was securing the chain to her collar. Freed from her travel chains, Melissa felt the urge to stretch. She knelt on the table, stretched her arms upwards, and even extended her fingers. Though in the back of her mind, she was aware that from the perspective of the two veterinary nurses in front of her, her posture might appear obscene. The need to stretch was overwhelming. She arched her spine side to side and then backwards, relishing the release. The feeling of a complete body stretch after prolonged constriction was gratifying. However, once the pleasure of the stretch subsided, she felt exposed to her captors, and she quickly returned to a modest kneeling stance and hid the catheter between her legs. She didn't like seeing her neck chain hanging down from her, so she draped it over her shoulder. The veterinary nurses recognized Melissa's need to stretch and waited for her to finish. Melissa knelt and covered her vagina with her hands from view. The head nurse told Melissa to sit on the table and recline against the wall. Melissa adjusted her chain to drape over her front to avoid any discomfort while leaning back. She was then asked to lift her knees, spread her legs apart, and grip her ankles, positioning herself to remain exposed. This gave the nurse unobstructed access to Melissa's genital area. The room was full of people working, and Melissa wished she would at least be shielded by any curtain from view. While removing the catheter, the nurse explained the procedure to Nala so she would be able to do it in the future. Melissa felt an uncomfortable tickling in her as the tube slid out of her. With the catheter removed, Melissa was relieved. Finally, the hated catheter was out. She couldn't stop a small amount of urine escaping her and trickle onto the table. The nurse took a hose that was attached to the faucet from the adjacent sink and sprayed off the workbench, and also sprayed over Melissa's vagina and legs. Melissa turned her face away to protect her eyes from the splashes from the hose. Melissa shut her legs and wrapped her arms around them, hiding her intimate regions from further exposure. Her collar chain draped to her side and behind her where it was fastened to the ring on the headboard. With the catheter removed, the head nurse left Melissa in Nala's care. Melissa observed as Nala produced both handcuffs and ankle restraints. Understanding they were meant for her, Melissa decided to comply. She detested the feeling of her hands being bound. Ever since her enslavement just a day ago, her hands had been in chains for most of her waking time. Nala had only just taken off her travel restraints, and now she was facing the prospect of being cuffed once again. And Melissa never knew for how long she would be shackled. But she recalled the agonizing experience with tasers from the day before, administered by officers for the slightest misstep. The staff here carried cattle prods. Unsure of how cattle prods might compare, she had no desire to experience that pain again. Nala seemed to be nice, and Melissa trusted that Nala wouldn't punish her without reason. And her strategy for avoiding pain was to be cooperative. She hoped Nala would take pleasure in managing her, rather than passing her to someone less restrained with their use of force. So when Nala took the handcuffs, Melissa proactively extended her wrists together, ready for the cuffs to be applied, making it easy for Nala to secure them. She did the same with the ankle cuffs. Nala did not detach the chain from her collar with which she was tethered to the backboard. Instead, Nala unlocked the chain from the backboard and used it as a leash to lead Melissa to her next station. The White Hall had a pulley on one wall with a large J-shaped hook hanging at chest level. The hook had a long upward-pointing bend. Nala guided Melissa's hands around the hook, positioning it between her bound wrists. She then cranked the pulley, lifting the hook and Melissa's arms with it, stopping when Melissa's arms were raised but not fully extended. Glancing up at the hook suspending her arms, Melissa was reminded of the hooks used by butchers to hang animal carcasses.
"Can you get off the hook?"
Nala inquired. Melissa tried to slip her cuffs past the hook's bend, even rising on her toes, but it was futile. She couldn't escape, even with her utmost effort. This realization was upsetting, and though she tried to suppress her distress, she felt trapped. Melissa settled back onto her heels, allowing her arms to dangle from the hook.
"No,"
she said.
"I can't, Mom."
"Okay, Are you comfortable otherwise? No strain?
Nala asked, caringly stroking Melissa's raised arm. Melissa nodded, acknowledging Nala's concern, though she was far from comfortable. Nala fixed Melissa's hair, pulling some strands that had fallen over her face back and letting them cascade down her back. She then adjusted Melissa's collar, ensuring the D-ring with her leash was positioned in the center.
Great. Someone will come soon and take care of you, Melissa. See you later.
Melissa nodded once more. While she appreciated Nala's attentiveness to her well-being, she couldn't overlook the ongoing degrading treatment. This inner conflict kept her from responding to Nala with the same casual friendliness that Nala showed her